Well, you're not quite done with organic wheat yet. So I'm going to be talking about a trial that I'm doing in collaboration with Heather Darby at the University of Vermont. And just a shout out to her to recognize her contribution. It's part of the larger project that John mentioned, where we are trying to increase the productivity and quality of organic bread wheat being grown in Maine and Vermont and northern New England. And that's been funded by the ORI grant program. And I have to chuckle because I was flipping through the program the other day and I came across a talk that said, "Are you kidding me? Dryland sugar beets in western Nebraska?" And I was like, that's what everyone's going to think about organic wheat in northern New England, or bread wheat. But just a little background on that, that's been covered a bit. With this, you know, actually in Maine, we do have a long history of growing small grains, 40,000 acres of barley and oats grown pretty much every year. But that's in rotation with potatoes under conventional management, and it goes to the feed grain market. But there has been this increased interest in local foods, and with that increased interest in bread being available from flour that's milled locally, from wheat that's grown locally. And that's really opened up a new crop opportunity for farmers in our area. A lot of them are interested, the ones that I work with are interested in winter wheat because it has a number of advantages over spring wheat. One is that we've actually seen a lower incidence of fusarium in Maine with the winter wheat. It seems to flower earlier and avoid a bit of the higher inoculum levels. It spreads the workload for farmers, so it's pretty wet in the spring in Maine, it can be, and so if you don't have to worry about getting into that next field, it really has an advantage. And it also is incredibly competitive with weeds. But the biggest challenge with winter wheat is making that grain protein level that Karen had talked about. And so in our area, we're using about a 12% protein level as kind of the target. Some millers and some bakers will use lower than that. But again, nitrogen is the key factor, management factor. Well, not variety actually is probably the biggest impact, but then nitrogen management is probably the next. And so to understand that a little bit better, what the challenge is with winter wheat, just looking at this wheat growth curve, nitrogen uptake by the crop roughly follows this curve that you can see with the biomass of the plant. And so when you're talking winter wheat and in organic systems, most people are relying on pre-plant nitrogen. So putting it on before actually seeding, that's in Maine, that's, you know, early September. And we're using mostly manure and clover plow down or a sod plow down. And so I was thinking I could use the little pointer here. But anyway, going into the winter, you know, the crop is probably taken up somewhere between 10, maybe up to 20 pounds of N that's available. And then it goes into dormancy. And we have a long winter in Maine, and we have a lot of water that ends up running through the soil. So any of the available N that's left over in by late fall is lost, pretty much. And so then the crop is relying on mineralization of the organic fraction to support the rest of the growth and then getting those grain protein levels up. So what in conventional systems... Well, oh, actually, before I say that, I would also mention, like as Karen said, that it's not just the amount of nitrogen that's important, but it's the timing, and that nitrogen that's available earlier in the plant's growth phases it goes more towards increasing yield. Nitrogen that's available later, especially at anthesis, will go more towards protein, and then in between, it's sort of variable amounts going to either. In conventional systems, it's very common for winter wheat for them to split applications and reserve some nitrogen back that they'll put on late in the growth phase, so even at flowering, to try to get that protein up. And so we were looking at that from to look at that in organic systems, and came up with these research questions. Can top dressing nitrogen increase grain protein in organic production? What time of application is most effective? Currently, we actually have a lot of growers who are top dressing with Chilean nitrate right at tillering. Is that the most effective time and source? What source is most effective? And does hoeing increase nitrogen availability from an organic source? And I'm sure a lot of people are saying hoeing. What does that have to do with winter wheat? But you'll see. So let's go through, let's go through our treatments. All of the plots, except for a no N control, received about 65 pounds of N pre-plant in the form of solid dairy manure. And then we had three times of nitrogen top dress. Late tillering, which in our area typically is around that April, late April, and then at the flag leaf stage and the boot stage. And then we looked at two different sources of nitrogen. Chilean nitrate, which is a soluble source, 16% N, is allowable currently up to 20% of crop nutrient needs. We exceeded that a little bit for experimental purposes. But one of the issues with Chilean is that, it's not allowed under organic standards in some in other countries, and there's some question about whether, you know, how long it will be allowed here. So we thought it was really important to look at an alternative. As well, I think an organic nitrogen source, by that I mean a carbon-based nitrogen source, would have different patterns of nitrogen availability. It might actually be advantageous in terms of its release, kind of delaying it towards later in the wheat's growth, in theory. So we used a product called Cheap Cheap. There are all sorts of fun names out there. 4% nitrogen, about 75% of that is in the organic form, 25 ammonium. And we put it on, so we used these application rates, and this was based on some work I'd done in 2009, as well as work in other areas looking at specifically at these dehydrated chicken products, manure products. And it's about half the availability was assumed. So those are the rates we used. And then because we're putting this on top dress, it just sits on the surface, we're really concerned about, from the organic source, well, how can it mineralize if it's not incorporated into the soil? And so I was hoping that Kathleen would be here because she was sort of asking that question earlier in Karen's talk about some kind of soil disturbance. This is in Denmark where we got to see a system where they use wide row planting for their wheat so that you can go back in and hoe. This is a hoe that you see there, and they're using a tram line system. And they're using that primarily for weed management so that you can go back, you can control weeds of varying sizes with that. But we were interested in it for a looking at soil or incorporation of the top dress. And so we included that as an extra treatment in Maine, where we did hoeing with the dehydrated chicken manure at the tillering phase and at the flag leaf. At the boot phase, we figured it was going to do too much damage, so we didn't do that. So some trial details. We did this trial in 2010 and 2011 in northern Maine and northern Vermont. Again, pre-plant manure with solid dairy manure. We used the Harvard variety of winter wheat, and it turns out it may not have been a good choice, but our rationale was that it had been shown to be a high-yielding, low-protein variety, and we thought, wow, well, then we'll get some good yield or some protein response out of it. But we'll see what happened. And then we had two controls, the no nitrogen added and the pre-plant manure, but no top dress. So we did a number of measures. I'm not going to go into all of them. Basically, for this talk, we'll focus on yield and protein. Let's look at the x-axis just to review the treatments and how this graph is structured, because there's another one that's coming that's just like it. We've got the two control treatments on the left, and then the next three bars are all the Chilean nitrate applied at tillering, flag leaf, and boot, and then the last three bars are the dehydrated chicken manure applied at tillering, flag leaf, and boot. One thing that I'd like you to notice, because if you're not from our area, this yield is actually pretty high. That's about 4,000 kilograms per hectare translates into about 60 bushels per acre. I think historically in Maine, you know, of what we can estimate, we expect about 45 bushels or so. So these are high yields. Harvard did yield high. The manure treatment did increase yield, so pre-plant manure worked. The other treatments didn't really affect yield except for the Chilean nitrate in the flag leaf and boot stage. And there, the increase was by about, in the flag leaf, like 9 bushels per acre and 7 for the boot stage. So grain protein. Here, if you look at the axis, the y-axis, you'll notice that everything was kind of low in protein. And that's where our variety choice came in. Such a high yield, you end up with protein dilution, and it's just really hard to, unless you're really pumping nitrogen to it, to get the protein up. So, but we did see some treatment effects. And first of all, notice that the manure control didn't actually increase protein relative to the no nitrogen control. So a pre-plant nitrogen source did increase yield, but did not affect protein, as to be expected. Top dressing did affect protein, did increase protein. And the general trend was for later applications to provide greater increases, as we would have expected. And these are the actual values of the increase in protein above that manure control treatment. Chilean was more effective than the dehydrated chicken manure, even though we put the chicken manure on at twice the rate of total N. It's still, we got less N out of it than really I expected. I don't know if that's because some of it volatilized sitting on the surface, or if we just overestimated the availability. We have nitrogen uptake data that we'll be looking at to hopefully help us with that. And then this hoeing treatment, what we thought incorporating it might help. What we found is that it didn't actually have any effect either on yield or grain protein. So at this point, summary of the agronomic results, top dressing did increase grain protein. Later applications increased protein more than the earlier ones. Chilean nitrate was more effective than the dehydrated chicken manure, and the hoeing had no effect. Well, so we basically showed that you can increase protein by using top dressing. The value of that practice then sort of depends on where that grain wagon's going, if it's going to the mill because they reach protein levels, or if it's going to the feed mill because they'll have to sell it for feed. And so I did a quick sort of change in net returns estimate in terms of to look at, well, what is the value then? And the assumption here is that we boosted protein from a feed grade up to a bread wheat grade with that, let's say, 1.3% increase in protein. So the cost of the nitrogen source and applying it for the Chilean was about a little over $50 per acre. For chicken manure, a little under $100. I factored in crop damage, so if just assuming that you're going in at the flag leaf stage, you're going to be crushing some rows unless you're in a tramline system, and estimated it out at, just in terms of the wheel tracks, about 8% of the crop. So that's a 3-bushel decrease if we're assuming about a 35 bushel per acre yield, which is somewhat low. And then the increase in yield from the Chilean was 8 bushels average, and so I increased the revenue from the yield. And then the making the milling grade has this value of basically doubling the pay price. So the net change for the Chilean was that you got $283 more per acre for your crop by making protein. And for the chicken manure, just, $121. So that's good. That's great. The question, though, is, or the problem comes in when, if you do all this and you don't make grade, then you've costed yourself $100 to $150 per acre. It can be made up in yield under the Chilean treatment, just about. Or if you did all this, but you didn't really have to because you would have made protein anyway. And so this trial really raised some questions about maybe, how do we estimate, how do we give farmers a way to estimate what their yield potential might be and their protein potential in an organic system, and what the soil mineralization potential is as well. PSNT has done a great job in corn silage systems and is used for other long season crops. But we don't have something right now that I know of for a shorter season crop like this. And we also don't have a good alternative that's cost effective yet, I don't think, to the Chilean. That's another concern. So those are two questions, and I'd be glad to discuss that with anybody after this. I'm not sure if there's any time for a question.
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
But I'd love to get some good minds around this.
Thank you.
Thank you.